On this Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, let's read first this morning in Acts chapter 2, where we have the account of the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the Lord arose from the dead, on a Sabbath day, we read of that in Acts chapter 2. The word of God in Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Now we turn for our text this morning in the Epistle of Romans chapter 8. And we'll read at this time the verses 11 through 18. And for our meditation this morning, we will look specifically at verses 14 through 16. 14 through 16. Now at verse 11 of Romans 8, But if the Spirit of Him, that's of Christ, of God, rather, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. To that point, we read the scriptures, verses 14 through 16. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is sent with all the treasures of Christ within His mighty arms to bring to our souls. Our Christ, crucified and risen, ascended into heaven, and is exalted at this moment at the right hand of God in all power. And when He was exalted, He received of His heavenly Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit now is His personal agent to bestow, to work in our hearts, the salvation that He has won for us upon the cross and resurrection. Peter puts it this way in the sermon on Pentecost, Acts 2:33, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, Christ, has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." The Old Testament foretold this event as the outpouring of a flood upon dry grounds. So we picture this morning a dry desert and the rolling, the continual rolling of flood irrigation, softening the earth, bringing forth an abundance. So the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church. The Spirit will work our spiritual rebirth. We are born again. He will illumine our eyes so that we might understand the Scriptures. He will soften our hearts to bring to us repentance. He will sanctify our will so that we will do the will of God. He will preserve our souls. In our text this morning in Romans chapter 8, we learn that it is the work of the Holy Spirit also to bring to us the assurance of our adoption as a child of God, to work in us a faith whereby we will say to God, "Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit is the worker of the assurance of adoption. Notice with me only briefly that in verse 14 of Romans chapter 8, that wonderful chapter in the Bible, that in verse 14, a new theme is being introduced by the Apostle Paul that he had not specifically mentioned before, namely the theme of sonship, that we have received adoption, that we are the sons of God. That's something that's new to this point in the Epistle of Romans. Paul now wants to bring something to the table. He wants to bring to the table this, that we are now the children of God, adopted, and the Spirit assures us that we are the adopted children of God. He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to understand our relationship to God, that God is our Father, and that through the work of the Holy Spirit, He testifies to us that we are the children of God. That's what we'll also experience at the table. Our theme, the Spirit-led, are the children of God. We note, first of all, in verse 14, that to be led of the Holy Spirit is to be led into warfare with sin. What is it to be led by the Spirit? We read, "For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these," or "they," "are the children of God." What is it to be led by the Holy Spirit? Is it some, do we think first of some impulse that we suddenly receive to do something? Do we think of being led of the Spirit as some work of the Spirit to help us make a choice that we need to make? Well, this Word of God says that the very first thing that you and I should think about when we read led of the Spirit, the very first thing is the Spirit leads us to kill sin in ourselves. Verse 14 begins with the word for. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Making then a connection to verse 13. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, if you live your life out of your sinful nature, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that is, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. God is saying in that verse, kill sin in you, or it will kill you. Kill sin. Fight sin. Or that sin, that lust, whatever it is, that greed, that bitterness, it will kill you. You must kill sin in you through the Spirit, says verse 13. Through the Holy Spirit. That means that we kill sin by the power of the Spirit, by setting our mind upon the things of the Spirit, or specifically, by setting our mind upon the promises of God in Jesus Christ, that our affections, our desires are directed above. And in that way, we do battle against the desires in us that are below. But to mortify the flesh through the Spirit is identical to the words, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. That's the force of the word for. We are to mortify our sins through the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. To be led by the Spirit of God is to mortify the sins of the flesh. It is to battle your sins. How does the Holy Spirit lead me? The Holy Spirit, the first thing you should think. He is, after all, the Holy Spirit. The very first thing is a warfare against sin. To be led of the Spirit, does He lead me to pick the right spouse? Does He lead me in the decision of what college to attend? Does He lead me in the decision of my vocation and job? Yes. Don't want to minimize that. But don't think of that first. He leads me to kill sin in me. So do we want to know the answer? How do I know I am a child of God? The Word of God says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. Are you led of the Spirit? I ask, well, what do you mean, led of the Spirit? What does that mean? I answer, are you led to make war on your sin? Sometimes we lack assurance. God seems far removed from us. It can be for many different reasons, but an important question to ask is, how do you feel about your sins? Young people, if there is a cavalier attitude towards sin, I didn't get caught, so it doesn't bother me. People of God, if we in our hearts have a cavalier attitude, we're not there's so many pleasures, there's so many things around us, so many attractions in this world. We're really not consumed with this warfare against the sinful deeds of my flesh, that I do not allow any seed of sin to begin to germinate and grow in my life. If that's not where our heart is, then we need to ask ourselves some questions. To be led of the Spirit is to be led to warfare. Don't take the leadership of the Spirit anywhere else first. Don't take the leadership of the Spirit, first of all, about decisions and all of questions and what should I do. This is first. This is first. He brings you to war against your sins. What are the defects of my sin that offends others? What about my temper? What about my selfishness? What about my lusts? The Spirit of God leads us into this holy warfare against sins. That's first. That was the sign of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the cloven tongues of fire. Purify. But now the work of the Holy Spirit is also, in connection with that, to lead us into something precious. That's our adoption. Verse 15. For ye have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear. Or you could read that, ye have not received the spirit of slavery returning you to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 14 is going to correct something that might pop up into our thinking when we are taught that to be led by the Spirit is to do warfare against sin. We might think, we might immediately hear that and say, well, that's oppressive. That's slavish. We might hear those words as if the Holy Spirit is dragging us from everything that's fun. But the apostle says, for, that is, you must not think in terms when the Holy Spirit is leading you to fight your sin, you must not think in terms of a bunch of slaves. We are not a bunch of slaves shackled with our feet together, being whipped by the Holy Spirit and abused by the Holy Spirit through fear, to get in there and to fight against your sins. You must not think that way. You must think this way. You must think of a son, of a little boy who loves his father. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. A little boy who, out of love for his father, obeys his father. To be led against our sins by the Holy Spirit is not to be returned to slavish fear, but it is to be brought to the assurance that I am following God as His Son. The Holy Spirit, through adoption, works in us the obedience of a son. We have received the Spirit of adoption. That's a marvelous, what a marvelous thing. We don't have time right now to open that all up, but what a marvelous truth. You and I, beloved, are all adopted. Every child of God is adopted. They are children of God through adoption, as earthly adoption. A child, a teenager, foster child is brought into your home and you love that child, and sometimes you love that child more than a natural child. You love that child dearly and you open your house to this child, and the child loves, by God's grace, their adopted father and mother. They say, that's my dad. That's my mom. We have been adopted in Jesus Christ, by His grace. And the Spirit, when he's called the Spirit of adoption, means that the Holy Spirit is poured out on this day. We celebrate his pouring out. He's poured out to teach us. He's poured out to instill in us the reality of our adoption as a son of God. And in that way, he leads you into the battle of sin. In the Roman world, and you can be sure, in this epistle of Romans, the Apostle Paul was well aware that he perked up ears when he started using the word adoption and slavery. Because that's what the Roman world was all about. A great man very often would pick a son to be his heir. Might not even be his natural son. He'd pick one on the basis of character. Adoption in the Roman world was not necessarily affection. It might include affection, but it did not necessarily include affection. And so the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, is teaching by contrast. He says this adoption of God is one that leads us to say, Abba, Father. It's all about the affection of God. The point of verse 15 is the Holy Spirit replaces the fear of a slave toward his master to the love of a son to his father. You did not receive from Jesus Christ a spirit of fear as a slave. That's not, if that's your terms of Christianity, we are far away. You have received the spirit of adoption to cry, Abba, Father. The contrast. We don't serve God in cowering fear as a slave to his master. By the Holy Spirit, we serve our Father free, happy, confident, assured of the affection of our Heavenly Father. Do you understand? Do you get it in your heart? How does the Holy Spirit lead you into battle against your flesh? He does not lead you with slavish fear. I have to. I'm here because I have to be. I'm here Sunday night because I'm chained to it. I have to do this because, like a slave, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead that way. He leads us as the adopted children of God who cry, Abba, Father, check yourself. Check yourself. How do you live the Christian life? Do you live it out of a sense of fear? Afraid? Dominated by fear? Or do you look this morning to the cross? Do you focus on Christ? On the truth of adoption? And do you, is the Holy Spirit working in you through the gospel of grace, the affection of a son? The neighbor who lives across the creek from the parsonage is Vietnamese. One of the neighbors are, and he saw during the spring I was working outside and he came to talk to me. He's about my age. He left Vietnam shortly after the Vietnamese War. He got somehow escaped from Saigon. And I was talking with him and I asked him among my questions was, so do the Vietnamese people like the communists? Do they like them? And his answer was, no. They have the guns. they have the guns. That's why they obey the government. The government has the guns. Why do you and I serve God? Why do we love? Why are we here? Why are we leading the Christian life? Because we are sons and daughters of God, adopted. That's the Lord's Supper, the work of the Holy Spirit. And so He will lead us to assurance. The Spirit Himself, verse 16, testifies, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will do that by bringing the testimony of the love of God into our hearts. Paul said something similar, Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us that we are the children of God by assuring us of the love of God. The love of God is not a statement, it's a experience. It is not simply to declare, God loves me. It is to delight that God loves me. How does He do that? The Holy Spirit assures us of the love of God by pointing us to the cross. The Holy Spirit gives us to know the love of God this morning through experience in your heart. You eat and you drink. So we don't walk out of this service the same way, empty. We don't walk out only able to talk about baseball and golf and graduation parties. But we talk about as we lead the service, God loves me as a son. That's not simply the declaration of a theological fact. That's an experience and a delight in my heart. And then the Holy Spirit works it within. We cry, Abba, Father. Abba, you know, is Aramaic. Abba is the first words a Jewish boy would say about his father. Abba. It is very intimate. Why does the Spirit keep that word? Because the word Abba to the disciples shocked them. They heard Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before they fell asleep saying, Abba, Father, if it be possible. It shocked them, for no scribe and no Pharisee ever taught them to use that word, our Father, not that word, Jehovah, but not Abba. That's too intimate. And Jesus used the word to express the deepest and tenderest relationship that He had to the eternal God, that God was His Father, and that this relationship was the relationship into which He would bring us. He leads us to this. Father, He's my Father. You learn that assurance of the Holy Spirit not by cupping your ear to the wind and waiting for God to whisper by His Spirit in your heart. You learn that by focusing your eye on this table of Christ crucified, and you learn that by hearing with your ear in your heart the gospel. And it is not just a statement of fact, but it is a delight of your soul you are a child of God. And in this way, the Holy Spirit leads you to battle. Amen. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Word. It is a rich and beautiful Word. And now we ask Thee to come by the Spirit through the Word that we have heard and through this sacrament. Come by the Holy Spirit and testify in this congregation to our spirits that we are the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.